One stone changed everything. One sling, one brave young man, one shot to bring down the giant. David and Goliath, the ultimate underdog story. I don't have to tell you this one. Two armies, the invading Philistines, so bold that they didn't even bother with a conventional attack. They just send out their biggest guy with a challenge, the contest of champions. Your guy wins, we will go home. Our guy wins, you will surrender without a fight. Pure intimidation. And it was working. Israel's confidence was fading. But then came David, the shepherd boy, more realistically in his late teens or early 20s. He had the confidence that everyone else lacked. God is with us, so what is a giant compared to the power of Yahweh? And David had the skills and experience to back it up. He had fought off lions and bears in his time as a shepherd. How is this threat any different? God saved me then, God will protect me now. So David rejected the armor of the king and went out to face Goliath with only his shepherd's staff and sling and the confidence of God's protection. This battle belongs to Yahweh. Taunts were shouted, the fateful stone was slung, and Goliath collapsed with a shuddering boom. And that's the sound of God's people moving from purple to red. This is the third part of our summer series, Faith of Many Colors, the Spirituality of Spiral Dynamics. Spiral Dynamics is a model of human development, how individuals and organizations and societies change and grow over time. Today, we're talking about the red space, the warrior space. Purple says life is uncertain. You have to stick with the tribe. You have to please the people and the gods if you want to survive. Red says, nah, I can do things. I make decisions. I take responsibility. I make things happen. In ancient Israel, King David was the model of red. He was a king. David knew who he was. He knew who he served. He was confident in God being with him. David took action. He slew the giant. He won the kingdom. He got the girls. The red space on the spiral dynamics model is an ancient impulse, and it continues to resonate within our culture today. Sometimes resonate quite literally. I give you Billie Eilish, and fair warning, you might want to have your hand on the volume controls for this one.
Watch me make them bow. One by one.
Can you feel that? Empowerment, ego rising, facing down the haters, pushing back those who want to take advantage of you, setting aside your own doubts, rising to the occasion, one by one by one. More on Billie Eilish in a minute. But that's red. You can feel it. It seems like a good day to point out that the particular colors on the spiral are not as meaningful as you might think. When the psychology professor Claire Graves was first thinking of this model back in the 1970s, he got feedback that his presentations were a bit dull. And so he assigned a teaching assistant to add some color to his overhead projector slides. Remember those? So the TA picked those without a lot of thought, apparently, and eventually they became a shorthand way of talking about these complicated ideas. And now you'll see that different groups of scholars use different colors sometimes to talk about these things. But anyway, don't read too much into the colors. They really are not intended to say much about the various spaces, and they're certainly not meant to line up with any of the brands, countries, or political parties that share those colors. The color red, though, does seem to fit neatly with the description of this space. Red is the color of power, passion, anger, hot rods, hot bods, Michael Jordan. We see that red all over the place in Western culture. One of the most compelling dramas of the past decade was Breaking Bad. We watched Walter White go from a meek high school teacher and family man with terminal cancer to a cold-blooded drug lord. And we cheered for him. He was the villain, but also the hero, because I mean, when he got cancer, he did what you're supposed to do. He fought this thing. And we watched as he went from being riddled with self-doubt to having this incredible strength of a man with nothing to lose. That's the journey from purple to red. I'm not in danger. I am the danger. Dramatic stuff. And yes, our red in our culture has a decidedly masculine tone in most expressions. But red is marketed for everyone in different ways. Self-esteem, sexuality, passion for success in whatever field you choose. All the single ladies, put your hands up. Who run the world? Girls. Red moves us. Red moves products. It gets promotions. It wins votes. On the individual level, red is the development of ego. That's mine. I'll do it myself. It's a pretty distinct stage in a lot of children, with the attached piles of anxiety and judgment for their parents. In organizations, I think we know red when we see it. It's charisma, clear vision, fierce competition, power politics. At its best, red is the Olympic team, determination, focus, and skill. At its worst, red is the mafia, corruption, backstabbing, cult of personality, immaturity, anger, violence. I have to say, I really struggle with the red space. It's my least favorite, I think, on the spiral. I see a whole lot of negatives in red, in organizations, people, in myself. The downside of red is quite obvious: domination, violence, and oppression. Self-centered ego, cutthroat competition, toxic masculinity, pimps and gangs and dictators, self-absorbed corporate CEOs, politicians who shall remain nameless. I find myself reacting quite strongly against that kind of red power. I don't want to be like that. Red means anger and violence and abuse and exploitation. And it does. Power corrupts. We know that. But today I want to talk about the positive, healthy side of red power. The usual warnings about the dangers of self-centered power still apply, but red is also a space of great potential for purpose and action. Red is the beating heart of the spiral. Without it, all the other colors lack vitality and passion. Nothing gets done without red. So today I want to look at some examples of the red space at its best. We heard some of Billie Eilish's music earlier. Billie is 19 years old. She became an internet sensation when she started uploading her self-produced music at the age of 15. What is red about Billie Eilish and what makes her so appealing to so many young people is her confidence. She is determined to be her own person, to make the music that she likes, to have her own look and style. Pop music, especially with young female artists, they're supposed to have a certain sound, supposed to look a certain way. They're usually expected to be innocently seductive. Billie Eilish explicitly rejects all of that. She's the anti-pop starlet. She wears what she wants. She has her own sound. She's honest and dark and real in a way that connects with people. And yeah, she's a celebrity, and there's a certain amount of marketing in that teenage rebellious image as well. This red sells. But there's also this.
And so you spoke about something that I think is really important and brave that you didn't intend to speak about, but that you have Tourette's syndrome and that it comes out at certain times. But I think that's amazing that you spoke about it because you kind of take away the, you know, scariness of it.
It's something I've lived with my whole life, and everybody knows, like everybody in my family, all my friends, all the people that are closest to me know I have it, and it's not anything different, you know? And I just never said anything because I didn't want that to define who I was. I didn't want it to be like, the artist with Tourette's, Billie Eilish is on Ellen.
Yeah. I have ways of kind of making them go away.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm on like, if it's like an on-camera interview or whatever.
That's what this is.
Yes, it is. But normally if it's like a pre-taped thing, they cut out the questions.
Right.
And that's when I let them out. But then there was this one interview where they didn't tell me they weren't gonna cut the questions out. So I'm sitting there answering the questions like, uh-huh. And then they start asking me questions and I'm like, and then everyone's like, that's so funny. And they made a whole, there was tons of compilations like, this is so funny that Billie did this facial expression.
Yeah.
When really it's just a bunch of tics.
Right, well, no, I think it, like I said.
That's what Red can do. Take a challenge, be upfront about it, find ways to make a part of who you are. Whether the music and image of Billie Eilish appeal to you or not, that kind of humility mixed with confidence, that's worth pursuing. Another powerful woman in the news this week is the outgoing Member of Parliament from Nunavut, Mumalak Kakak. In her final speech to Parliament this week, Mumalak spoke about her personal challenges, personal experiences as an Inuk woman in the halls of power, and she offered this challenge.
Every Inuk has survival mode. We have to. No, not two generations ago, survival mode meant endurance of extreme temperatures and finding food throughout the winter. Now survival mode means being able to see that warmth in shelter and affordability in livelihood, but being denied it at the hands of the federal government. The federal institution needs to change its own policies and procedures to reflect reality instead of creating barriers for people like me. I shouldn't be afraid of going into work. No one should be afraid of going into work. It is possible to create change. It can be started here in the House of Commons and reflected in Canada. There is a refusal and unwillingness for change, not an inability to accomplish it. But that's exactly what the problem is. Inuit have been telling those with power and ability to make change to try and survive in their shoes for one day, 1 week, 1 month. They couldn't. Maybe it is impossible for ministers to understand what we go through every day, but I am urging you, telling you to listen, believe us, and do something about it.
Whether you agree with her politics or not, this is a speech worth paying attention to. You can watch the whole 10 minutes on YouTube. This is Red in action. This is the strength of Red. Clarity, purpose, challenge, the call to action. We do make choices, all of us. The choices we make reveal our values and our character. I'm grateful to Mumalak Kakak for calling us to action. One more example. June is Pride Month. This weekend would normally be when our church walks in the parade to celebrate those among us from the LGBTQ2S community. Pride is a very red celebration. It's about people knowing who they are, speaking out, standing up for their rights, and finding great joy in the diversity of our community. That takes courage, strength, an incredible amount of grace. This is Hannah Gadsby, a comedian from Tasmania in Australia. Some of you have seen her Netflix special from a couple of years ago, Nanette. And we're going to watch just a bit of it now, but really the whole thing is a masterpiece. I will warn you, the piece that we're going to watch, those parts are quite intense. This is red. Red is passion. It's dangerous. Hannah Gadsby has lived that intensity. She calls herself a not normal, as a lesbian who's often mistaken for a man from a distance. She's made a career out of turning that tension into comedy.
I told a story about the time this young man had almost beaten me up because he thought I was cracking onto his girlfriend. Actually, that bit was true, got that right, but there was a twist. It happened late at night. It was the bus stop. You know, the pub had closed. It was the last bus home, and I was waiting at the bus stop. And I was talking to a girl, and, you could say flirting. I don't know. And but out of nowhere, he just comes up and starts shoving me, going, "Off you!" And he goes, "Keep away from my girlfriend, you freak!" And she's just stepped in, going, "Whoa, stop it! It's a girl!" And he's gone, "Whoa, sorry." He said, "Sorry, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't hit women," he said. "What a guy. I don't hit women. How about you don't hit anyone? Good rule of thumb." He goes, "Sorry, I got confused." He said, "I thought you were a trying to crack onto my girlfriend." Now, I do understand that I have a responsibility to help lead people out of ignorance at every opportunity I can, but I left him there, people. Safety first. Do you remember that story I told about that young man who almost beat me up? It was a very funny story. It was very funny. I made a lot of people laugh about his ignorance, and the reason I could do that is because I'm very good at this job. I actually am pretty good at controlling the tension, and I know how to balance that to get the laugh at the right place. But in order to balance the tension in the room with that story, I couldn't tell that story as it actually happened, because I couldn't tell the part of the story where that man realised his mistake and he came back and he said, "Oh, no, I get it. You're a lady. I'm allowed to beat the out of yous," and he did. He beat the shit out of me and nobody stopped him. And I didn't report that to the police, and I did not take myself to hospital, and I should have. And you know why I didn't? It's because I thought that is all I was worth. And that is what happens when you soak one child in shame and give permission to another to hate. And that was not homophobia, pure and simple people. That was gendered. If I'd have been feminine, that would not have happened. I am incorrectly female. I'm incorrect. And that is a punishable offence. And this tension, it's yours. I am not helping you anymore. You need to learn what this feels like, because this tension is what not normals carry inside of them all of the time, because it is dangerous to be different. I don't tell you this so you think of me as a victim. I am not a victim. I tell you this because my story has value. My story has value. I tell you this because I want you to know, I need you to know what I know. To be rendered powerless does not destroy your humanity. Your resilience is your humanity. The only people who lose their humanity are those who believe they have the right to render another human being powerless. They are the weak. To yield and not break, that is incredible strength. You destroy the woman, you destroy the past she represents. I will not allow my story to be destroyed. What I would have done to have heard a story like mine. Not for blame, not for reputation, not for money, not for power, but to feel less alone, to feel connected.
I hope you can feel that. The whole show is called Nanette. It's well worth watching. You can find it on Netflix. It's hilarious. It's full of pain and anger and hope and grace. Red is this intensely personal space. And when we can get it out of defensive mode, which is no easy task, but when we do that work, as Hannah Gadsby has done, the power that it has, the power of connection, belonging to ourselves and each other, that power is amazing as well. Self-acceptance, integrity, self-worth. We read earlier from the book of Ephesians, put on the full armor of God to resist the evils of the day and do everything you can to hold your ground. When I was taught about the armor of God as a kid, I learned that it was about character, integrity, having the conviction of knowing the right things to do and then looking to God for the courage and strength to follow through. And that's true. We've seen this kind of integrity today. The power of the red space, the difference between self-reliant and self-centered, that comes down to the character of the person holding the power. Character matters, and it doesn't just happen. Character is built up over time as the warrior gains armor through training and discipline and skill. And I was reminded this week that the armor is also about identity. Each piece of armor is also a statement about who I am in the eyes of God, a choice to see myself through those eyes. This is the armor of King David, the warrior after God's own heart. He was full of faults. He was well aware of those. But he kept coming back to this confidence that God loved him, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. This armor of God is that kind of awareness of God's love. I'm held together by the truth of who I am. I'm confident in God's approval, grounded in shalom, choosing to trust, crowned by redemption, filled with the Spirit, tuned into the voice of God, the voice that calls everything into being, that names us good, beloved. That's a whole lot of religious jargon, but this is a metaphor of the warrior who knows who they are, who is defended by and protected by the deep awareness of God's love. As this same book of Ephesians called us to last week, they are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, so deep and wide and high and long, love that surpasses knowledge. That power of love is ours. That is who I am. You should see me in a crown. So, red faith builds character, follows the call to action, and it is grounded in the love of God, the divinity within and among us. If we can tap into that deep strength, standing alone, standing together, watch out, world. More power to you.